You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything. Feel it.
26 minutes after 9 on a Tuesday. Yankees, Red Sox. Yeah.
Game tonight.
Huge game tonight. Joining me is Boston Mike. He's now going to be a Massachusetts guy. You know what? We need to broaden out your citizenship around the. He's kind of a man of the world. Would you be a man of the world or a man of the country?
I've been all over the world, yeah.
Man of the world, guy, friends everywhere. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There you go. And he joins us today, Michael Musselman, or as he likes to be called, Gunner, because Gunner's more of kind of a rock star kind of title.
That's my title. I earned it.
Whoa! I like that. You did earn it. No shit. How are they going to make 50 cal ammunition so much lighter that it will knock like 20 pounds off the weight of a can of 50 cal. How do you do that?
You do it either two ways. You can do it caseless, or you can do it polymer casing.
Are both available right now? So we're not talking about anything crazy. We're just talking about stepping into the...
Both are available right now.
We're talking about stepping into the 20th century and then maybe someday joining the 21st century.
Yeah, caseless ammo already exists, and so does polymer. Complete polymer, so no brass, just polymer.
The if you were to recommend, what would you recommend?
Caseless.
Explain caseless. What does it look like? Don't you have to put it?
Looks like a brick. It looks like a little small rectangular brick where the bullet is actually encapsulated inside the powder itself. So the powder is what you see. The little brick, and that's all the increment. So it fires and it sends the projectile out. Pretty cool.
Can you handle the caseless ammunition roughly like we do? You know, we throw it around, we do all this stuff with it. Can you?
Yeah, it's got a protective coating on it, so it provides some kind of a weather barrier.
Would it be so? It would be marine proof. I mean, you could all this.
Oh yeah.
Wow, caseless.
I don't know about solvents. Solvents may
impact.
You know, if you get some type of solvents on it, it might you know do something wrong with it.
The interesting polymer. Tell us about that. So it would look similar to what it looks like today in brass. It'd simply be a lighter.
Yeah, it would just be a plastic casing on it. I have those rounds in 5.56 actually.
In polymer. Interesting. All right. Another headline, Marine headline. Two Marines sustained gunshot wounds during 29 Palms training accident. This is kind of an opinion question. Yesterday, one Marine has already been released. Incident happened at 29 Palms on Sunday. There were 3-4. And then another Marine is in serious condition, which is down from critical. So it means that his injuries are not life-threatening, and so hopefully he'll be released soon. In your experience, is there an event that that contributes more to these kind of accidents? Is it cruiser weapons that don't shift? Is it somebody who has their head up their ass? It's always head up their ass. Is it?
It's kind of a combination of everything. It's improper marking of lanes, people not paying attention to their sectors of fire. You know, I don't know what the cause of that would have been, but usually it's some kind of error someone overlooked.
My experiences out there were it was more often a cruiser weapon that was supposed to shift to another target. Somebody gets confused, doesn't shift, and doesn't cease and shift to the new target. And then when you begin to close on the old one, and life gets very exciting there for a short period of time until you get on the deck and start screaming. So
well, that's why you have backup. You should have backups to all that stuff too. So
right, yeah, no, you do, and then you have safety people out there. Yeah, there's coyotes and other people that are out there, and yet this stuff happens. And so I just wonder what if you had a. Something that contributes more often.
I don't know what happened in that case.
No. This is something in the course of your career that contributes more often. Ollie North is the president of the NRA. Are you fired up about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not afraid of a camera, okay?
No, he's not shy of cameras, man.
And not shy about sharing his opinion. So, that'll be interesting. So the thing you went to last week, that was like a leadership forum, yes? Yeah? So it wasn't their national convention. What was it? So I mean, I know you were walking through the display hall and thing like that, but what was the greater purpose? And did you stay? For the vice president's and president's speech?
No. I left.
Okay.
I had no dreams of ever watching them guys talk.
What? All right, I'm with you. So what was it?
Yeah, I think it was primarily a leadership summit, bring all the head guys together and kind of formulated a new strategy of where they were going to take this after all these school shootings. And the NRA's big fear of the Second Amendment being repealed, and how do we go about what's our new strategy and campaign that we're going to focus on?
Right. Is the Second Amendment going to be repealed? I didn't think it was.
Well, if you talk to the crazy left, and it's just a matter of time for the next school shooting, right?
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
But here in Texas, they've already thwarted one. Some kid up in Plano, or in another area north of Dallas, he was getting on Facebook talking about how he's going to do all this stuff, and then the police jumped in and used collaboration with the feds, arrested him, and he's in jail.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when it's supposed to work the way they talk.
Yeah, exactly. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't need more heroes. What we need is people to intervene.
Yeah, exactly. And I was talking last week about that the father who's pretty visible down in Florida, Andrew, what's Meadows' last name? Meadows' dad. But he's on the Florida State Commission that's looking into all this stuff. And he sued. He filed a lawsuit against the school resource officer that didn't enter into the building, and he was laying out kind of the timeline of what happened, and he said that this shooting starts, and he's taken in a golf cart to the building, and this guy, this kid with the gun, he's on the first floor. My daughter's on the third floor, and he said, look, I know this because you see the video, and then we also have recorded the calls he makes on the radio. He's not going in the building, and then he tells other officers not to go in. And he said, in the meantime, this guy goes up to the fourth floor, shoots my daughter four times, she crawls over and puts her body over a friend's body, and then he walks up and shoots her five more times. And then you see him, and he said, a lot of people are named in the lawsuit. My focus is one guy. He didn't do his job. And you're sitting there watching that going, shit, man. I understand his motivation, and but man, to sit in there and have to listen to that stuff is absolutely brutal. But
that's your job, man.
But God bless him though, because you have to go down this to get to a better place, to stop these stupid things. And as Mike said, if you don't do it, to the school districts who don't do it, and not having money is not a reason not to do it. Put your hand up and scream, we need money for this shit. Like, the Beverly Hills school district may not right? But the Watts School District sure as hell does. Okay, so we need your help. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that around the country. Like, where is that? I see teachers going on strike because they want more money.
Yeah, everybody wants more money. Or how about those administrators that are paid enormous salaries decide, you know what, children are more important. Let's take a pay cut to provide more resources. But no, we don't see any of that happening.
Right. No. And you know what? Again, my experience, you cannot ever throw enough money at education. Ever. I mean, look, what we do now, we feed them breakfast if you need breakfast. We feed them lunch if they need lunch. And we take care of them after school so you don't have to pay for daycare. And there's after school programs. And then you come get your kid. And if you need them fed after school, we can do that too. Okay.
Yeah, redirect some of those funds that are going to social welfare and handout programs.
School district
programs that really need some.
So the question is, when does the school district get to claim your kid on their income taxes? Because let me tell you, none of that stuff used to be the purview of the school. It all used to be done. By parents. So the I just listened to the commandant get interviewed by John Allen, and it's a cool interview, and you know, the whole thing's cool. He talks about recruiting, he talks about diversity, he talks about future, and it was in this interview that he made the comment about in 15 years we won't have pilots in our aircraft, and but he talked about a whole lot of different things impacting the Marine Corps, and at the end somebody says, what is that bracelet on your wrist? He tells a story about a Marine getting killed. In 2006, you and I are both there in September, right? Are you still there in September?
What year?
2006 with 3-5? Or when did you guys redeploy?
No, we left.
Okay. So he's talking about rollers. As we go through, now we're going to have a better jammer. What's their alternative? Well, their alternative is a human being trying to time it or a pressure plate. And so he says, well, what if we had a roller out in front? And then he got told how it wouldn't work and blah, 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 blah. And then he, I think it was that night or a couple of days later, he's reading the casualty reports and this Marine, who was killed up near Haditha, he was with 3-3, he went back in and got the group together, whatever, you know, working group they were, you know, what would have been like the counter IED working group, right? A lot of EOD guys and whatnot, mm-hmm. A lot of EW guys. And so he walked in and said, all right, build the rollers. And they looked and they said, the general. And, he put his hand up. He said, the debate is done. Build the rollers. Do it yesterday. And he said, and now you look around, he said, you know, all the vehicles in Afghanistan, you know, all had rollers and things like that. And he said, you know, this bracelet reminds me, you're a general, do your job. And he said, my job is to make, you know, so it's really cool. So it's just, you know, this, you know, what's the bracelet for? And then he goes on and tells this story. And then he says, it took me 10 years to, he said, I had a picture of this kid in my car and as a reminder. And then I was at this event, and they were making memorial bracelets, so I had him make me a bracelet. So I see Norm Cooling. Cooling was the battalion commander of this battalion. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, would you put your wrist up so I could take a picture and put it in our newsletter? And so Neller does that. He then gets a some kind of message from a guy who says, hey, that guy's dad is one of my best friends. He wants to know why you're wearing his kid's bracelet. And so Neller is like, I don't really want to talk to the dad. And, you know, I just isn't, you know. But he said, you know, I have to. And then he says, if you ever want somebody to do a good eulogy at your funeral, don't pick me. He said, I suck at that kind of stuff. He said, but anyway. So he's pretty funny. And so he says he calls the father, and he tells the story to the father. And the father invites him to, you know, rural southern Indiana where they live. And he mm-hmm. goes there, and he meets the family and whatnot. He said it was awesome, but he tells this very, very cool story about about the kind of guys that Mike and I talk about, you know, these guys who we know, the kind of people they are, you know, and why our devotion to the organization is what it is because of the people that we cross paths with. And very cool interview. If you missed it, listen to it. It's on the website right now. It has General John Allen, 4-star, interviewing 4-star, you know, and Commandant General, you know, Bob Neller. And it's, you don't see that very often. Pretty cool, pretty smart guys. And they also talk about how handsome infantry Marines are, which is pretty funny in and of itself. Talk about I'm going to lift that. That's going to go into the montage at the start, right after Kennedy says, ask not what your country can do for you. You're going to hear Nella saying, of course, we all know infantry officers are the most handsome and smartest officers in the military. Or he said something like that. Talk about your interaction with General Neller. I thought Mike told me this while all of that was playing. It's pretty funny. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just that when he was there, he was in charge of just gathering data, and so he added another rule of engagement. We're firing a M203 round at the car, and so I did a video showing why that's not the right way to do it, as the M203 went through the front windshield, embedded in the seat, and started burning the whole car down. And it would have just been that, hey, Gunner, next time, you know, just tell me it's not a good idea. You don't have to do this damn video. It makes me feel like an idiot.
So why didn't you give him, like, the low-order version? Why did you have to go high-order detonation on him?
Well, because the whole fact of, you know, trying to make him understand, he's got to, you know, people are visual creatures, man. They got to see why.
You know what? If you go into a squad bay, this is one of the things that you need to learn about Marines when you begin to lead them. When you go into a squad bay, when we used to have magazines, what kind of magazines would be on different tables, not in the squad bay, but in a barracks? You're not going to find Foreign Affairs Quarterly, okay? Everything,
no.
It's all pictures, okay? Sports Illustrated, you know, you're going to have all those TMZ magazines. You're going to have picture magazines. That's what you see. And so you're right. I could explain this to you, but let me show you a picture. That's why terrain models work.
All right.
Here you go, boys. Here's where we're going. Now, you can stand there and you can paint them a great visual image to an order, but you build them a terrain model and say, we're doing this and this, they're like, got it. Got it in my head. Burned into my head. Let's go. And they know what they're doing. So it's kind of interesting the way Marines learn visual creatures.
Yep.
All right. What else is going on? What's going on in your life today? Anything exciting that we need to know about?
No. Things are mellow.
Really?
Things are calm.
You like calm, too. So is that why you're happy today?
Yeah, it is calm.
So when the Yankees thump the shit out of the Red Sox, that's not going to make you happy, is it?
No. If that does happen, no. That probably wouldn't make me happy, just like it wouldn't make you happy. Red Sox.
Stop!
Yankees tonight.
Don't come on this program talking blasphemy like this. I'm looking forward to it because they're probably two of the best teams of baseball, and they're both. You know what? The even more odd is both of them tend to be older teams. You know, they tend to get, you know, high priced free agents and things like that. But that's not the way these teams are now. They're younger teams, which is kind of interesting and fun. So I'm looking forward to it. What, here's an email. Hey, Mac, I have a question relative to caseless or some kind of polymer round. Is that stuff commercially available to the rest of us? And what say the gunner about polymer casings if they are commercially available? So, Mike, commercially available?
No, they're not commercially available to the public. as of yet, because, and I don't know about Polymer. Polymer might be, because Polymer, you can use the same platform. You can shoot out of a, just basically any rifle.
Right.
Caseless, you need a caseless firing weapon. So, usually, and if it was available, it'd be such an astronomical price tag that only a few people could afford it. Because it'd be, the fire pit is electronic.
Why are you yawning?
It's like a spark. So, I mean, so one gun to look at. HK made one years ago. What was it called? It was almost science fiction looking. H&K, case. So the G11, that's what it was.
G11.
So if you look, at the G11, look at the G11.
It does look crazy.
Yeah, it was designed back in, 1968. So it's been around for, that technology has been around for a while, and it uses a 4.73 projectile, and a real small projectile. 2,100 rounds a minute. That's pretty dang fast, man.
That is. You got to have a big magazine to shoot that many rounds a minute, though.
Yeah. So, the 1990s, they started making them. And then I think they just kind of died out after that.
Why hasn't it not?
Price tag, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, to make that gun, it's not cheap. So if you look at HK, if you look at the HK gun, it shows you what it looks like. So there's a projectile, picture of projectile, and it shows the casing. That there's like a brown substance that's the powder, the projectile, the primer, and then the cap. So, and they show different pictures of it, what it looks like, but there are some, guns that I think they're trying to design right now that can fire caseless. It's a pretty cool technology, man.
Is it, obviously, if there was some kind of merit or some way to make it cost effective, but I mean, you're talking about, one of the things that Mike has schooled us all about is, when he's talking about the M4 or different weapons, he's talking, he says, Mac, this is like late 60s, early 70s technology. Like, whoa.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's an article in Marine Corps Times about the IAR having some reliability issues. Have you seen any of that?
No. What reliability issues are they talking about?
Well, I'll find it here in a second. Anything that ever gets fielded in the Marine Corps, you have, and I don't care if it's a helicopter platform, I don't care if it's an infantry weapon, when the masses use it, right, and start pounding the shit out of it, then guess what? You're going to find things that happened that didn't happen in the somewhat sterile environment of training and fielding. That's why mods are created for weapons. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Here's another ammunition. SOCOM snipers will ditch their bullets for this new round next year. Okay, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Top special operations snipers will replace their 7.62 sniper rifles with a caliber that doubles their hit probability at 1,000 meters, increase their effective range by nearly half, reduce wind drift by a third, and have less recoil. What is that? The magic? What? The magic bullet? The 6.5 millimeter Creedmoor.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It does all that, Mike.
Yeah, it's a great gun. I mean, it's a great bullet. It's a great thing to build off of. It's been a match grade bullet, meaning they shoot it in long range competitions for a long time now.
So
real flat trajectory.
So explain what this. Explain what the difference is.
The what?
Explain what the difference is. So when you say flat trajectory, does it have more powder in it? So it has.
Yeah, it's a bigger round.
Right.
It's a much bigger round.
So 6.5.
It's going to have a lot more powder in it.
Yeah,
if you do a size comparison, 308 versus 308 versus 6.5 Creedmoor. Look at the comparison.
What am I going to find?
Well, look at the size difference.
It's bigger.
The casing is. Yeah, look how fat that casing is and the bullet is.
Fat boy.
Yeah, it's a much. I mean, so you're shooting a lighter bullet. So
it's lighter than the 7.62. Why is it? But all those other things are going up from the 7.62. So it's not only a question of power. What makes this bullet different?
Oh, it's more stable.
How?
It's a lot more stable round. Yeah, it's more aerodynamic.
Ooh, they all look the same though, man. Some.
Yeah, but it's not. They're not. If you want to get up there, shoot that. It's a 300 Norma mag. That thing's a ridiculous round.
Why? What's that thing do different? Now you got me interested in ammunition. Why? It all looks the same.
You're muffled. You sound really muffled for some reason.
I do? It's not me. It's you.
Oh, then it's me. But you were coming across the Michael and it's muffled.
I know, but that's a personal issue, okay? And we tend not to talk about our personal problems here live on the radio. I got asked Gunner about the story that says shoulder-fired weapons can cause traumatic brain injuries. What does he have to say about that? Mike, what do you have to say about that?
What?
Shoulder-fired weapons, this is from last week, shoulder-fired weapons can cause traumatic brain injuries, study says.
Oh, God. Yeah. So can falling down and hitting your head, I guess. Just don't fall down.
Yeah, if you shoot, you know, X number in this period of time, and you don't have any kind of ear protection in, you know, you will suffer blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Yeah, you'll suffer TBI.
No kidding. The Corps is on track to fully field the M38 marksmanship despite setbacks. For the M27IR, I think this is the article that talked about the setbacks with the IR. However, okay, the Corps could then cancel, blah, 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 according to, this is Chris Wade, talking about the IAR. On Wednesday, lawmakers with the House Armed Service Committee threatened to withhold 20% of the M27 funding until they receive the Corps' assessment from Small Arms Ammunition Configuration Study. Some of Congress's angst over the M27 stems from the Corps' decision to source the weapon from. This is not the story that I want. So anyway, all right, I don't want to talk about it. I didn't find the right. I didn't find the right story. So now I'm pissed. Next email. The Gunner's calm? What med is he on today? Tell him to stop yawning. Getting my pontoon out of storage. When is he coming to Minnesota? I need to buy enough beer.
I don't drink beer.
What do you drink? Do you drink?
High-end Kentucky bourbon.
Okay, there you have it, John. High-end Kentucky bourbon. When are you going up to the lake in Wisconsin this year?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right, we're not divulging that information.
It's not on the schedule.
It's not on the schedule yet?
No.
Does your family, does it vary when the Musselman clan gathers, or is it pretty much the same week?
No.
Oh, all right, you want to make a prediction on tonight's game?
Well, I already told you.
I need a score. Okay, first of all, who's pitching? It's Drew Pomerantz for the Red Sox,
mm-hmm.
and it's Severino for the Yankees. All right,
then the Red Sox are going to win tonight.
I'll give you some numbers. Drew Pomerantz, 1-1 with a 6.14 ERA. Luis Severino is 5-1 with a 2.11 ERA. So what do you think? Give me a score prediction.
I think it's going to be close. It's going to be like 4-3.
4-3 Red Sox.
Yeah.
All right. I say it's going to be 6-2 Yankees. And I say that because Pomerantz gives up 6 runs a game, so the Yankees get 6. Severino gives up 2 a game. The Red Sox get 2. Poof, done. Okay.
Oh God.
That's what I say. See, I'm empirically based. I'm mathematical. That's how my brain works. So
they're not playing 100 games tonight. They're only playing 1.
I know, but at least mine's math based. I didn't do Karnak says, okay, which you just gave me. Karnak says. Another email. Do you boys think there'll be another fight? I don't.
I do.
I don't, because the Red Sox essentially got shoved into the dugout in the last one. When you're the little guy, you're the little guy, you don't, like Aaron Judge, Stanton, CC Sabathia, right? Who's the big relief pitcher? That dude with the tattoos.
Yeah, when you're talking, you're just named out for criminal lineup.
When you're a little white guy, you don't want to fight that guy. They don't like, yeah, I don't want to do that. So, like, the Red Sox are not going to fight, trust me. They're feared. Heckler and Koch. How do you say, is it Heckler and Koch? Heckler and Koch? How do you say that? K-O-C-H. Koch?
Koch.
Koch. Heckler and Koch. All right, so no texting during the game, no matter what happens, all right? And you know that you're responsible for Montana boy, little Robbie.
Wait. I mean, I can't even say, like, hey, this is going pretty good.
No. You can't, like, bomb out one of your benign little, hey, what's the score if the Red Sox go up, like, 5-0? Hey, what's the score? I'm out with Tino. What's going on? Yeah, don't. We're not going to play that kind of dumb shit tonight, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Look, we've all been around the block before on this, boys. Everybody just needs to stay in their lane. According to the Associated Press, Trump to withdraw from the landmark nuclear accord with Iran, dealing a blow to U.S. to American allies. What is the blow to the American allies? It's going to upset the apple cart with Iran, and they've done, like, the EU has done, like, $400 billion in trade with Iran. That's the problem here. The problem isn't it's not the right thing to do. It's Europe is upset with it because they've done so much commercial business with Iran, and this is going to upset it. So,
hey, I have a good story we can end on.
All right.
So a friend of mine here in Granbury, she runs, she's really involved in the Republican Party here. She does a lot. She's a great lady. She's got great kids. So she took a gamble, and you ever heard of Flat Stanley? It's like a school project for kids.
Slap Stanley?
Flat.
No. Of course not.
Okay, so Flat Stanley is this paper cut up, kids color it, and then send Flat Stanley somewhere, and then your thing is to send a picture of where Flat Stanley goes, where he's been. You know, so then that's a school project. I think they have all year to do it. So it goes these Flex families go all over the world. They take pictures of Flex Stanley, you know, in the background would be like the Eiffel Tower or the Statue of Liberty, you know, just places, you know, that you can mail Flex Stanley. So I had some friends when I was in Iraq send me their Flex Stanley. I took Flex Stanley patrol. I had Flex Stanley clear an IED, you know, all this sort of crazy stuff. It was funny. Had Flex Stanley laying next to an IED that we dug out or a weapons cache. Flex Stanley was point man going into a building, you know. It was crazy. So she sends, and this is Sam the News right now. I'll read it to you. Granberry, when 10-year-old Allison Anson Graff sent his friend Flex Stanley to Washington, little did he know that President of the United States would have thanked him personally. Graff came home one day to find a first-class letter to none other than President Trump at his front door. Trump had received the paper cutout, Flex Stanley, which Graff had colored, polka dot tie included. In the letter, Trump was pleased to report that Stanley received an official visitor's badge, caught a movie in the White House Family Theater, and bowled around in the Truman Bowling Alley. But it wasn't all fun and games. Flex Stanley walked away with some knowledge. He learned about the executive branch, the history of American presidencies, and the families who called the White House home. Trump touted Flex Stanley's manner, saying, too, he was respectful and a good listener. The president was also impressed with Graff's thoughtfulness, saying that your decision to send Flex Stanley to Washington shows that you understand the importance of being active in life of our great nation. It is my hope that your journey to our nation's capital will inspire you and your friends to come home to continue learning more about our history and systems of government. So they got all of the stuff with that personally written letter from President Trump back in the letter. So he's going to take this thing to school and be like a rock star.
You know what? I love that stuff. I love when kids try, we as adults should go out of their way. And I told the story.
Yeah, I mean, if they set their goals, man, it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that we remove all those obstacles for them to attain those goals.
Right. I saw four kids. There was two on the far side of the street. I was out mowing the lawn. And they were going door to door selling something. And then I see an adult, a little, you know, maybe a house behind them, just walking down the sidewalk. I didn't realize there was two kids coming on my side of the street. So all of a sudden I see these two kids, and I shut the lawnmower off, right? I take my earplugs things out, and I said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" They're like, "We're raising money for our choir. Where are you guys going? What are you guys going to do?" "We want to go to sing in Washington, D.C." "Oh, really? Where are you going to go sing in Washington, D.C.?" "At the National Cathedral." "Is that right?" And he looked at the other kid. "Is that right?" "Yeah, I think." "You guys ever been there? You guys know where that is?" "No." "Right. All right. What's the name of your group?" "The Orange County Choir for Boys and Girls," right? And I said, "Okay, you guys hold on. Are you guys with those guys?" And the guy hears me talking to him, right? And he stops and he's watching. And he said, "Yeah, they're our friends. But we're all going out here together." I said, "Okay, if I write you a check, can you give like part of it? So if I write you guys a check for $20, can each one of you guys get $5? And the kid goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." So the guy comes across the street, and I go in, I get my checkbook, I write the check, I hand it to one kid. I said, "Hey, you got to share this." He says, "I will." I said, "Promise." He says, "I promise." I said, "All right, if I find out you don't share it, I'm going to come find you." And he starts laughing. And I said, "Do you know the only reason I'm giving you this money?" And they looked, they're like, "No." I said, "Because you guys are out doing this stuff, okay? Most kids have their parents take this stuff to work and do it. Don't ever be afraid to get off your butt and work hard and do good things and great things will happen to you." And the kids are looking at me like, "This guy's a kook, right? This guy's out of his mind." I said, "You guys got it? You got it?" He says, "Yes." "You got it? Okay, explain it to your two friends." They're like, "Okay, I'll like see you later." So they walk off, and the guy's standing there laughing. And he saw the Marine Corps flag, and he said, "All the values that are represented by that flag, we try to put in these kids." I said, "No, God bless you. And you're talking about, you know, just a little piece of it, Mike." And the president should do that every once in a while. And because that'll make the read board in classrooms all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Cool stuff. Stanley. Stanley on patrol, Stanley finding IEDs. I'm not sure that's exactly what they were looking for. But what the hell, right? It's part of the world, so why not?
Yeah.
All right, hey, remember, No stupid text messages tonight.
Just one?
No. Because Mike, he doesn't even play that game. Right? When the Red Sox lose, you will hear from Jimmy Hoffa before you hear from Mike Musselman. He just goes silent. Crickets, crickets, crickets. So, yeah, so don't play it. He only plays it when he's winning. All right, man. Have a good one. I will talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Yeah, well, sounds good. Talk to her.
Go Yankees.
Shit.
There you have it. Okay, if you miss the show today, you missed a good show. The interview that you'll hear between General John Allen and General Bob Neller, right? General Allen, retired, now is the head of the Brookings Institute. Yeah. So, Neller comes to Brookings as part of their strategic review interviews, and Allen interviews him. I didn't know he did that, such a thing, but he does. I have to call him and tell him, hey, why are you encroaching into my world? But, you know, it's a great interview. So, that coming up next. And then tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow, General Butch Neal, United States Marine Corps, retired. He'll join us for battlefield study. General Neal, in 1967, was a forward observer for India Company, 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines. They get into a fight on March 30-31, and one Medal of Honor awarded to Lieutenant Bobo, and then four Navy Crosses and a bunch of Silver Stars and Bronze Stars for a fight they got into. And so General Neal will talk about that tomorrow. So don't miss it. It's awesome. He's great. Gave up a couple hours yesterday to do it. So my thanks to him. You'll hear more from Butch Neal from Hull, Massachusetts. That's right. Threw out a first pitch at a Red Sox game in 1991. And I guess they were getting thumped. And they interviewed him during the game. And they asked him, like, well, what do you think? He said, well, judging from how well they're doing today, they probably should have let me pitch. I said, you really said that? He said, I did. So, no, he's a... grew up as a garbage man after his father passed away, supporting his mom and sisters. Yeah, he's no shit. He's the real deal, Butch Neal. So, and if you, when you see his picture, if you don't remember the name, he was the spokesman for CENTCOM during the Gulf War. So you'll look at a picture and you'll say, ah, that guy. So, without further ado, thanks for listening on a Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow. All Marine Radio, out.